All right, so we're on message four on preaching the gospel. If you want to take it out, now's a good time. So just for a little review, we've covered in preaching the gospel, especially in the last few messages in this line, a few things that are really important in our preaching the gospel. Right? 2 days ago, we covered companions and prayer. We saw how important it was to pray, especially with a companion. That lays the base for everything God does, right? And then yesterday, what were the two things that were emphasized about the gospel? Amen. How about say that again together? Amen. So with these things, prayer, the Spirit, and the Word, this is really our way to carry out the gospel. We're not here for inventing a new gimmick, a new method to just attract a lot of people. We just care for prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. And we believe that the Lord will bless His people when they take this way of the gospel. So today we're coming to message four, and let's just read the title together of message four. Coordinating. Amen. Let's have the sisters read it. Brothers. So I hope you see the first word, circle the first word, coordinating, very important. And then the last word, church, okay? Did you all enjoy your prayer time last night, the bonfires last night? I felt that was such a precious time. You know, we've arrived at a point in this college training where there's a real response. And I felt like last night, just praying with the brothers, releasing our feeling to the Lord, I felt like there was really something that was satisfying to God that was going up. Because through this college training, we're being brought, of course, to appreciate the Lord, to appreciate His humanity. And we see how much we need Him, right? But beginning from I'd say this message, and especially going on in the evening lines, there's a little turn to begin to consider and to see more about God's need and God's desire, which is the church. So that it's not just about ourselves, it's not about just our commission to preach the gospel. We want to see God's need and God's purpose, why He entrusts us with the gospel in the first place. So actually, in this message, we're going to talk about the homes. But we're not going to talk about homes as a method. We're not going to talk about homes as just a nice technique that we have of getting people in contact with us so that we can speak more to them. And we're going to talk about the homes, but it's in the context of God's home. Okay, so we each need a home. And like in the hymn we sang, we found our home in the church, and even just practically as human beings, we need a home. We need a place that we can call our own, that we're loved. But actually, we should realize, and in this message, I hope we come to see that God has a need for a home. God needs a home. Even before we consider our need for a home, I hope we could realize God has a need for a home. Of course, this home is in the church. This home is not a building, not a physical building. Of course, we realize God's home is something that He is building, constituted of Christ, worked into the believers, and expressed in a corporate way. So as we're coming to this this point, maybe we could read Roman numeral 1 all together. The purpose. So I'm just going to read you some of these verses from Haggai chapter 1. Haggai 1:8 is referenced on your outline. I'm going to read some of these verses, starting from verse 2. And the situation at this time was that the temple, God's house, was in disarray. It wasn't built. And God had called His people back specifically to build up the church. But even after He called them back, they began to lose heart for the building. So this is what Jehovah says in verse 2. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time for the house of Jehovah to be built. Then the word of Jehovah came through Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled up houses? Is it time for you to dwell in your paneled up houses while this house lies waste? Now therefore, thus says Jehovah of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but there is no satisfaction. You drink, but there is no being filled with drink. You dress yourselves, but there is no warmth in doing so. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Bring wood. Build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And will be glorified, says Jehovah. If we don't care for God's house, none of our care for our own home, for our own satisfaction, for our own need, will satisfy us in any way. God has a need. Brothers and sisters, He has a need for a home where He can take pleasure and be glorified. Doesn't that sound wonderful? We have an opportunity right now to consider how we could be part of God's pleasure, that His house could be built up. So, as a college student on a college campus, a lot of what you do in your life for the Lord will naturally involve a campus work, whether you're one student on your campus. If you're one student on your campus, you may just want to have a companion, one companion. You might just be praying for one companion. If maybe you're on a campus with a lot of students, and maybe your prayer there is, Lord, how will you go even further? How will you go even higher? How will you gain more of a testimony on this campus that's so dark and so many people need you? Well, wherever you are, it's easy to look at just our situation. But I hope this morning we could be brought back to realize God's need is for the house, which is the church. And actually the principle is that all of our work is for the church. No matter what kind of work it is, if it's young people's work, if you're caring for young people, if you're caring for children, if you're on a college campus, if you're reaching out to international students, if you're taking care of visiting the sick, any kind of work that we do is for the church. So I appreciated this, these verses in Haggai, because, you know, like Haggai, we live in an age where God has a real need to build up the church. We live in an age where so much has been done. The Bible has been released. The gospel is spread all over the earth. But the question is, where is the house? Where is the place where God is really satisfied? Where is the place where He can find His rest? Where is He glorified? Not just by preaching the gospel and getting people saved, but having them grow in His life, having Him make home in their heart, expressing Him in a corporate way in oneness. Where's that? God needs that. So, brothers and sisters, this is where we have an opportunity to offer ourselves to the Lord, to offer ourselves to Him for the building up of His house. Well, right now, there's a need for college students who will care for God's house before their house. What I appreciated considering this is, okay, how should we respond? Well, actually, you know, there's only been one man whose heart ever fully matched God's heart for His house. That's Jesus, right? And think about John. Think about John chapter 2. Remember when he went to the temple and he saw it was full of money changers and all kinds of things. What did he do? He was not happy, right? He made a whip out of cords and he drove the money changers. He drove them out of the temple. Well, we may think of Jesus and his humanity. You know, he's balanced, right? He's fine in every way. We might think of him in terms of, well, he's nice, he's kind, he's gentle. He is that. But brothers and sisters, he's also full of zeal. And when the disciples saw him, they remembered Psalm 69. And they knew that verse, and they remembered that it was written that the zeal of your house will devour me. It will eat me up. And they realized, that's this person. That this man is eaten up by zeal for God's house. He's devoured by it. So I just appreciated thinking about this. You know what? We were made in a way to be full of the proper zeal. To be eaten up. Not by football. Not by fashion. Not by a desire for good grades. Not by everyone accepting you and liking you, a desire to be, on top of your social circle. We weren't created for that. Actually, we were made in such a way to be filled with the zeal of God's house, even to be eaten up by it. But the only way for this to happen is for us to eat Jesus. When we eat Jesus, we'll be eaten up for God's house. We just need to eat Him. He's the proper one, and He's full of feeling for God's house. This is the humanity that we need. Okay, so let's read point A altogether. And also at this point, grab your Bibles, because we're going to read these verses in Ephesians chapter 3. So let's read point A altogether. God's is to have the church. So I just want to, we're going to read these verses together. If you have Ephesians chapter 3, let's read verse 8. This is Paul. To me, that's been the least. Amen. Just that verse. Okay, so he says, to me was this grace given to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Is there a period after gospel? No. Because Paul was given a commission that was not just to preach the riches of Christ as the gospel, but includes verse 9. Let's read verse 9. And verse 10. Amen. So Paul was given a commission to preach the gospel and to enlighten all, that they would see the economy of the mystery and that they would see that God's wisdom is made known in the church, and that they would see that they have a part in the building up of God's dwelling place. This was Paul's commission. This was his heart. So brothers and sisters, we're not on the campus. We're not anywhere just to preach the gospel. We're there for eventually that all would be enlightened to see the economy, God's full purpose, and that they would see the church. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're here for God's eternal purpose. So what this means, you know, practically on your club, on your campus, means we're not there just to build up a good club. We're not there. You're not there just to have a lot of activities on campus. Of course, if someone asks you about the church, you don't have to give them a big message about the church. necessarily right away. But we shouldn't back away from this wonderful vision that God has a house. God desires a house. And that actually, as Christians, we are one by believing in Him, and that we are actually we are the members of this wonderful house. This is a wonderful thing. And we shouldn't be ashamed of this in any way. Point B says we should regularly attend and function in the meetings of the church. The meetings of the church include the Lord's table meeting, the prayer meeting, and the prophesying meeting. Did you enjoy last session, speaking on the blood of Christ? Do you appreciate the blood of Christ more than you did a week ago? I did, and I could tell as I was seeing people share, wow, they got into it. They dug. And you know what? They appreciate it. Well, you have an opportunity to do that every single week in the prophesying meeting of the church. Actually, if you prepare just a little bit, you will enjoy sharing a lot. And you know, you'll actually enjoy everyone else's sharing a lot more as well. When we prepare to prophesy, we're taking part practically in building up the church. So I'm glad we all got a taste of that. And right now I'm going to ask Miles to come up. He's going to give a little bit of his experience of beginning to appreciate the church.
Amen. So when I came to UCLA, I really had this desire that I... just to really gain a closer relationship with the Lord. And I remember at orientation connecting with a lot of different clubs. And through the Lord's grace, I started meeting with Christian students at UCLA. And when the year began, I was going to a lot of their different meetings, just a bunch of Bible studies throughout the week, some dinners, and it was really great. And for the most part, I was just going to the meetings throughout the week, like in the home meetings on Friday, which were awesome. But I remember after some time, one of the brothers, he sat down with me, and he really explained to me like where he met on Lord's Day. And I remember him, you know, explaining to me like what the church in Los Angeles was and how they met at a meeting hall in the Church of Los Angeles. And I kind of understood this. I kind of just said, oh, that makes sense. But it really, the Lord really took time to really reveal to me his desire for the oneness, and really that just how important His home is. And so after a lot of time just, you know, even going to meetings and going to college conferences, I really saw this importance of just really building up the church. So I started, you know, attending Lord's Table meetings, prophesy meetings, and prayer meetings, and really even participating in these meetings. And I really appreciate just how patient the Lord was with me. Because I remember even at the beginning, you know, I saw, you know, that it was practical, the way of meeting, but I really didn't really see the importance of what it meant to build up the church in this way. And I really pray that we all would have this same vision, that, you know, it's not merely a club that we're a part of at school, and it's not merely just to gain members of this club. But it's really just for the overall goal of building up the Lord's home, which is His church. Yeah. And just my experience has really been highlighted by how we are satisfying His need. And praise the Lord that satisfying this need is the most satisfying thing ever. And I just pray that the Lord, you know, keeps me in His body. And just that we all would just be these materials for His building. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 So, you know, what we see is that there's this need. But Okay, we can begin to enter into it, and we're going to see that the way this is that this can happen. First of all, actually, for God to have a home, it kind of goes back. We need to pray. So point C says we should bring our burden for the students to the church in order to stir up the whole church to pray for what we're doing. When the church picks up this burden, the church will be behind us and will be absolutely one with us in our burden. So the principle is pray. Whether you're in a situation where there's a lot of open homes, or maybe you're in a situation where you're the lone student on your campus and you don't have any homes that you're connected to at all. Whatever it is, as we go through the rest of this message, as we share some testimonies, I hope we would all begin with prayer. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want to see this matter of the homes for your home. So this is where we can all begin, is with the matter of prayer. And now Brother Kevin's going to continue here.
Let's read Roman numeral 1 again. So as Josiah has explained, it's good to always have this view, like an overarching view. When we are on campus, when we are meeting people, when we are having appointments, when we are in the meetings, in the home meetings, we need to have this view. God has a need. And God's need is that He will build Himself in the church. And, you know, like the song we sang, you know, hallelujah for Christ and the church. God has a goal. God has a goal. I just wanted to, before we get into Roman numeral 2, just to see this, you know, in this outline, the mention of the homes apart from the subject comes in Roman numeral 2. And I just wanted to just share a little bit about the book of Acts. Because in the Gospels, we see a wonderful human living of this wonderful God-man. You know, he preached, he was around many people. And in the book of Acts is the beginning of his work, his operation through different ones, through the disciples, so that he would produce the churches. One thing I appreciated in the book of Acts, how does it begin? It begins by the Lord telling the disciples to meet somewhere so that he can outpour himself as the Spirit. And what happens in chapter 1? You know, you have this 120. They're doing one thing. They are praying. So yesterday, the brothers emphasized this matter of the Spirit and the Word. You know, they were praying. You know, they were in that upper room and they were praying. In chapter 2, the Spirit fell on them. In Acts chapter 2. And once it fell on them, what happened? They started preaching the gospel. We see Peter with the 11. They stood up and Peter just spoke about this resurrected Christ. And his desire is that everyone would hear about this wonderful one whom they were enjoying. So now that's the word. If Peter and the disciples did not have the word, how would they have cooperated with the Spirit working in them? So I would encourage you on a side note. Brothers and sisters, we need the word. I hope you take the brother's encouragement yesterday to heart. You know, without the word, we are nothing. We really need to pay the price. You know, I was talking with my group earlier, yesterday, and we realized when it comes to the matter of waking up, we just have to do it. When it comes to the matter of the word, we have to do it. We're not going to do it in, you know, Brother Minoru one day encouraged us. You know, reading the Bible from cover to cover, it's not a matter of inspiration. It's a matter of endurance. You just begin Genesis 1, you read it. The next day, you just open the page and you just continue. So I'm just encouraging you, as the beginning of Acts, they started with much prayer and they filled with the word. Now, Peter has preached the gospel, right? People have got saved. Where will they go? Where will they go? Let's read Acts 2, 46 and 47. Let's read these two verses. Okay, let's read it. Amen. And day by day, amen. Amen. From house to house. The Spirit invented something so wonderful. The gospel went out. Began with a lot of prayer. It was filled with the Word. People received the Word. Then they took all these ones to the homes. So that's why we're emphasizing this matter of the homes. And it's just in line with the divine revelation. That when we are praying, also in our experience, when we are praying on campus, it's not just for prayer's sake. You know, when we are speaking the Word, it's not for the Word's sake. You know, it's to bring these ones in the home so that the practical building up of the church would occur. So that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Let's read Roman numeral 2. So we need to connect the new ones into the home. So now we get down to very, very practical of our experience, you know, about bringing people in the homes. But before I say anything, let me let Joanna explain this matter of the need to bring people to the homes.
Amen. Hi, Saints. My name is Joanna, and I just finished my second year at Santa Ana College. So my experience with the homes is limited, but it's been really enjoyable just seeing that the Lord really does use a home for His advantage. So this past fall, we had Club Rush, and So one of the contacts, I was able to contact one of the new ones, and we had an appointment. And on our very first appointment, I could really sense something very open about her. So I asked, like, do you want to receive the Lord? And she automatically said yes, to which I was very surprised, but hallelujah, she received the Lord. So I started taking care of her. Like, every Thursday we had a time together. But within me, I'm like, Lord, like, I can't do this by myself, you know. Taking care of a new one is a body matter. So then that's when I started telling the trainees and Kevin and his wife, the saints. And I was burdened to put her in a home because that's where there's really something gained. So she was only able to come twice because of her schedule. It was kind of hard. And also she lived in Riverside, which was like 40 minutes away from Santa Ana. But anyways, it was just really sweet when she was finally able to come to a home. Because I feel like the homes, they're just a really sweet place and just a place of rest, you know, for them to just come as they are. So after those two times, she hasn't come back, but she did come to my house, and that's where we had really sweet fellowship, and I've just been enjoying that. Though it is a struggle to bring new ones to the homes, the Lord is faithful, and we just need to trust in Him and to really use the homes for His home.
Amen. Oh, we need to trust in Him. Amen. Okay, let's just continue here. Let's read A together. So the best way even to bring our unbelieving friends or even Christians is to come and bring them into home and preach the gospel to them. This is what the apostles, if you read Acts 5:42, you see that in the homes, it specifically says that they preach the gospel from house to house. Okay, let's read B. Amen. Amen. So every student, look at your neighbor. Tell them, you need a home. Every student needs a home. Your friends need a home. All the gospel contacts you have, they need a home. So we need to realize, you know, the home is the sweetest place. Is that true? It's the sweetest place. That's where we find rest. You know, that's where we enjoy the Lord. That's where even our needs for our soul are met. So the homes are very important. But I want to highlight this word. It says, for the sake of coordination. So in this outline, it mentions coordinating, coordinated, coordination like 7 times. And I just wanted to give a small definition from what our brother, you know, during the message too in the previous training, our brother talked about, you know, the co-workers have a, you know, coordinate together. And he mentioned this matter of blending and equated it to this. And I appreciate this definition. It says, the blending is through the cross, by the Spirit, ministering Christ to one another for the building up of the church. So brothers and sisters, when we coordinate with the saints, like Joanna mentioned, you know, she has this new one. This new one, you know, has a desire to come, but she feels, oh, I'm limited. So I need to look for a couple. I need to look for one. And then when you come with that couple, we pray, you know, we talk about the situation. You know, oh, what time can she come? Can she come in the evening? Can she come to the afternoon? Which saints are available? All this needs a good coordination. Amen. Let's read C. Okay, let's read 1 and 2. Amen. Amen. In C1, this is where God's activity is carried out. So my encouragement to you all is don't miss a home meeting. Don't miss being with the saints in the homes. You know, I can testify every time, every week when I came to a home, God did something different every time. It's amazing. Is that not your experience? You know, you think, okay, we're going to start with this song. Maybe, oh, we did that last time. And you come to this time, somebody brings a friend. Wow, something new happens. Or the next time you come, no new one. And then somebody opens their situation. Wow, you know. You just see God's activity. God is operating. It's something He has ordained, so He's working to gain His heart's desire. So this is what God is after. And as it says in 2, we need a society. And the sweetest and most restful place is a home. So I'll let Sam Wu just speak his experience about this experience. Amen. Of a home.
And everyone needs a home. When I first came to UCLA, I have to testify, I didn't have a home. I was very much in darkness, and it didn't really bother me that I was homeless. And because I was so close, there was very few things that could really open me up. But this one sister, she opened up her house every week, really close to where I lived. And when she called me, if she asked me to read the Bible with her or to come to the meetings, I probably would have said no. But she gave me an offer I couldn't refuse. She said, I want you to come to my home meetings, and you can just eat the food and leave right after. And I was like, are you serious? That's pretty good. But when I was actually there and I ate the food, it was kind of rude. I mean, you can't just leave after you eat. You got to stay at least for the singing. So in that way, I started kind of gradually staying for the singing. If I really felt it, I, you know, stayed for the whole meeting. And just gradually, there's something about being in someone's house that you can't find anywhere else. I mean, in this meeting hall, it's really efficient. It houses everyone, but it's not really intimate. There's, like, no warmth. But when you're in someone's house, I mean, this is where they raise their kids. This is where they sleep. This is where they, you know, go to the bathroom, whatever, do everything. I mean, I didn't mean it in that way, but it's really intimate. And there's something you get from there that you can't find anywhere else. And I remember distinctly I was singing and enjoying the Lord in such setting. And I realized it hit me. I was in the Father's house. I mean, there's a place for you there. It doesn't matter where you are in your Christian walk. It doesn't matter if you're burning for the Lord, you still need a house. It doesn't matter if you're really close like I was, you still need a house. Everyone needs a house. I feel like in that situation, I began to really, I really felt the Lord really loved me. It was in the context of someone's house. And I know that there's always verses a lot in the Bible that talks about how much the Lord loves us. But where do you actually feel that love? When does those words actually become like your experience? And I have to personally testify, it was in someone else's house. It was when they opened up, it was when that sister opened up her house and said, you know, come, there's food. And I mean, she cooks like great Korean food. And I was like, it's awesome, man. it was in that setting that I began to open up, and I really gradually had this really genuine seeking from the Lord. So praise the Lord for the home meeting, and I encourage, especially the incoming freshmen, do find your home meetings and just stick around.
Amen. Amen. Let's read 3. Psalm said it all. Amen. Let's read 3. Amen. So we have to understand, you know, on our campuses, when we meet our friends, our classmates, this also needs to be very clear. They are lonely. Every man has a spirit, and they have eternity that's within them. And if they don't have God, they are lonely. And because they are lonely, they're seeking a place to be. So in our care for them, we need to have this view. You know, just like God needs a home, right? God needs to meet His need. Also, these ones need to come and meet God's need by getting into the homes. Let's read D. Mm-hmm. Amen. And let's read 1 and 2. Amen. If the saints in every... So all the saints from all ages can participate. In D1, you see this. In D, we see this John 12, 2 through 3. And here is a story about the house of Bethany where Christ came to rest. And here you see different people. You see Mary there, you know, listening to God's word. You see Lazarus testifying about God's resurrection. And you see there Martha is serving. So in the homes, all ages, you know, I've witnessed this. I remember we were bringing a new one to this young couple's home, and it was so sweet. You know, this new one, she was a sister, and she wasn't open, you know. But I like it when she walked in, you know, she sat down, and then this, you know, this young couple, she has two daughters. You know, would you like to hold the baby? So... It's just like magic, you know. Just the baby also is functioning. You know, the sister held the baby and she was opened up. She was opened up. So even the babies, children, young people, college age, the older saints, all have a function in the homes. This only occurs in the homes, because God, as the point says, saints of all ages can participate. Brothers and sisters, we can all participate, from the youngest to the oldest. And also, this needs a coordination. I just want to just highlight this again and again. You know, like coming early, you know, to be with the saints in the home, you know, helping them wash dishes, praying a little bit, you know, hey, brother, do you need a help? You know, can I set up the chair? You know, anything. Or can I bring some dessert? All this needs a coordination. And if we are faithful in this, then the Lord can have a way to operate in the homes. Let's read 3. Amen. So I'll let Alyssa, Baldwin, and her companion say something. Alyssa?
Amen. So I'm Alyssa.
I'm Crystal.
My experience in my home meeting in Long Beach has been very practical and normal, I would say. I started meeting in this home when I moved to Long Beach when I was a sophomore, and I started getting together with one of the moms in my home meeting, and we would get together just to work out. Like, it's very practical. Like, she, this lady's extremely busy, you know. She has 3 kids. She serves part-time. She works part-time. I don't know how she does it, but we would get together and work out and pray, and we would just enjoy the Lord together and get into the Word, and then this began kind of our coordination, actually, for the home meeting. I didn't even realize it, but really what we were doing was, like, laying the foundation for me to invite new ones And it became so easy because I could just be like, oh, hey, this week somebody's going to come, you know, this is her situation, this is, we met her that, and we would just pray. And it was really, it was so, so normal, and amen. Thank you, Lord. and then I also really have just been learning through coordination to be body conscious, because there was, anyways, we had a lot of, you know, bumps along the way, definitely this year. One day nobody texted that they were coming to the home meeting. None of the students texted. And so they were like, all right, we're going to cancel. But we're all free. We just didn't. Anyways, we didn't take the responsibility. We all were expecting that there was going to be a home meeting no matter what. So I just realized, Lord, like, you, on the one hand, like, you brought me into this home meeting, like, you're caring for me and for the ones I'm bringing, but I also need to be responsible and bear that in the home meeting. And she would also let me know, you know, hey, these saints aren't doing so well. And so then it just heightened my awareness, like, oh, hey, maybe let's go early, you know. Bring a YP, go early and help them cook. And it was just so sweet. And they were like, you know, I really needed that. Thank you. And the Lord just, he's just been multiplying. I think it started out like three or so sisters. And I was like eight. So I was like, I was thinking I was going to move. But anyways, the Lord kept me there. And praise the Lord, you know, the first one, probably the first one, I don't even remember now, but I think the first one I invited to the home meeting is Crystal.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. And she was a freshman. And then now she's praying with me for all the new ones. And it's so sweet. And we're like, you know, driving all over Long Beach to pick up these people. But amen. I just thank the Lord for the space of coordination and prayer. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, she doesn't remember bringing me, but I remember. I really identify with this point. It says in the outline. It's number 5. Once a freshman is brought into our living room, most of the work is already done. And I really identify with that. You know, I was probably as ripe of a freshman that you could be. I was seeking. I really, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, just not in the church life. And my experiences have brought me to a point where I really needed a family. You know, my parents, I was probably out pursuing my parents. And, you know, I didn't have any, like, spiritual mentors or whatever. We only have pastors, and pastors, I'm not going to, like, I know you're like, oh, hey, pastor, and then they just walk away, and then, you know, you don't get a fellowship with them. But anyway, so I really identify with that. You know, I was just brought into the home, and I was captured. And, you know, even with Nicole, so she was describing how we have so many new ones. We have 2YP, various new ones. I know Fung is one that Alyssa brought to our home meeting, and we have new ones, even more newer ones. So I was just really touched that other ones don't have new ones. So it took a couple of months for the Lord to actually call me out of that home meeting. And so I started hopping. So I was in fellowship with that same sister, and I said, you know, I really think that it's time that one of us goes, you know, just to give more room for these new ones to really take up a burden and function our home meeting. And so I took Janice, and we started hopping. And there's this one home meeting that I knew I would end up in, so it was the last one that I ended up going to. But anyway, it was really sweet just going to all the different home meetings, seeing even, you know, the way they connected. Each home meeting was different, you know. Even some would speak Spanish to each other, or, like, you know, just they had their own jokes and their own, you know, everyone would participate. And it was just so great seeing all the different families. And so when I went to the Changs, where I'm at now, I just knew I was going to end up there. So I went, and there's no college students. They're kind of like awkward older saints, but I love them. No, honestly, they even tell me, like, you know, you need to teach us how to be with college students. That's one thing that I enjoyed yesterday that the brother shared, is that they can eat Christ, you know, and maybe, you know, they're older. Actually, a lot of them, even a sister was sharing with me, only one of them was actually a college student. Saved, you know, so they, I mean, a lot of them don't even know what it's like to actually be in the church life and be a college student. So even I'm working on, as a brother has mentioned, coordination. I mean, and it's awkward, and I don't, you know, like, sometimes they'll just, oh, let's read this ministry, this new one, and I'm like, oh, Lord, like, can we just talk to her first, or I don't know, like, anyway, amen, but I can eat Christ, they can eat Christ, and I just say coordinate, you know, even if it is awkward, even if it's not the home meeting you want to be at, or it's not, you know, oh, that's against my concept, but the Lord will use everything. And as long as you're one with him and you know his blessing is there, which it is when you're in coordination, then amen. Amen. It's all for building up of the church. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord for coordination. So we shouldn't have this concept that coordination is, you know, we all need to come and sit down and, you know, do things. But, you know, just calling the family, just being with them, all this, you know, really helps to facilitate. When these new ones come there, then they can be a testimony. Just by looking at how the saints are, just the students are, they can testify, wow, God is here. God is here. So we always need to have a heart to remember, Lord, grant me the burden to coordinate with these saints, with the saints in our home. Okay, so she already read 5. Let's read 5 again. Okay, sorry, just also let's read 4. Sorry. Amen. The saints. So then I just, lastly, I just want to say this point. You know, how do we come to the homes? I hope we have enjoyed these few days, this matter of coming to the Lord in the morning, being filled with Him, you know, reading the Word, you know, speaking the Gospel. When we come to the homes, we need to come enjoying the Lord. I know this is something normal, but in our experience, many times when we come to the homes, it's like the last place to rest. So we have gone through a whole day, you know, it has been busy, and then we're just rushing, we come to home, and then we sit down. And then everybody, amen, how was your day, you know? And then, okay, what song should we call? Or, hey, you know, it's so hard, you know, for us to touch our spirit because nobody brought the spirit with them to the home meeting. So I would encourage you, you know, we need to have the experience of touching the Lord in the morning, loving the Lord during the day, and anticipating, oh, Lord, wow, the home meeting, oh, and come bubbling. You know, I like this phrase that says, we should be filled with the enjoyment of Christ. And one way is, practically for me, I've experienced it, is many times it's busy. But when we're deciding to go to the home meeting, it's good to pray. If you have a partner, you pray. You know, if you have a companion, you just pray. When you pray and touch the Lord, wow, your spirit gets activated. When you come there, wow, you're just so fresh. You're just ready to be in this, spend the time with the saints. So I'll leave the last point to you.
So in this, isn't this sweet what we've covered here? You know, you have this matter of the homes. I think we all appreciate this is a very sweet matter. But, you know, this may not be, you know, like we shared at the beginning, our situation. But I appreciate, you know, just wanted to share with you, this is not the... This might be maybe an ideal way, but it's not the only way to use homes for the building up of God's home. So if you live somewhere, then you have a home. So maybe you aren't connected to a home of some older saints. But if you live somewhere, then you have a home. It may not be your concept of it. It may not seem to be ideal. But actually, maybe you're in a dorm, maybe you're in an apartment off campus, you could actually open up that home. Also, the other aspect of homes, let's read point E altogether. Yeah. So this is a wonderful point. I hope we could broaden our perspective that every home is for God's home. Whether it's our own home, whether it's a saint's home that we're coordinated with, even a new one's home that we're visiting. And I appreciated Acts 10:22 is where, you know, Cornelius comes to Peter. He says, Cornelius, a righteous... So some people come and Peter says, why are you here? And they said, Cornelius... And then they, you know, explain who Cornelius is, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and hear words from you. And then the next verse says, then Peter said, well, maybe we could invite him to my home. I'm having a home meeting next week on Friday at 7 p.m. So could you tell him to come then? It doesn't say that. That's not in the Bible. Because Peter took the opportunity. If he had not gone, he would have missed the opportunity to open up the gospel to the entire Gentile world. So sometimes you need to seize the opportunity to go visit somebody. So we're going to have Susan share a little bit about her experience of visiting students in the dorms at UCLA.
Hi everyone, my name is Susan. I'm a second year at UCLA. And last year I was really privileged to join a freshman dorm Bible study where we had around 5 to 7 freshman sisters who we connected during Freshman Connect or during our, you know, our classmates. And these are the new ones that actually haven't ever touched the church life before. So it was really sweet. Every Monday, me and another sister and a full-timer, we would go and join them at their dorms to read a chapter of John, with them. And this time became a really normal time because we could just meet with these girls where they are, both physically and spiritually. So physically, as in, we actually go to their lounge at the bottom of their dorm, first floor of their dorm, and that the sisters won't really have to, like, walk too far to get to the meetings because at LA, everywhere you go, you have to walk. So this is really a place where we can meet them where they are. And also, it was a very convenient time because we would all pick a time together in the beginning of the quarter to see who has availability. And we can all meet together at least once a week to enjoy Christ together. And this time was really specifically catered to meet these new ones' needs. And I just really appreciated that even if they can't make it to certain home meetings, they can still enjoy Christ together at their dorm where we meet them. And also, this met the students where they were spiritually because of smaller groups. So they were more comfortable sharing to each other the Word of God and even, you know, asking questions and praying over personal issues. And also, it helped that we are all freshmen sisters, so we all just we're able to share with each other and open up. And this truly is a meeting that can't be found anywhere else. And I really enjoy that our dorm Bible study became like a little family. Like, it was a very sweet and intimate group of people that I met every week. And even during first quarter, when there was a sister who got hospitalized because she was really sick, we all went over to the hospital to, you know, encourage her and to pray with her. And even, like, birthdays, we all love celebrating birthdays together. And through this time, we are more connected to the new ones. And with the Word as a basis, we warmed up each other, and this really helped for further contact. And going every week developed a relationship and atmosphere where we can really minister Christ and feed Christ to one another and to really cherish and nourish these new ones. I was really encouraged by this verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:7. But we were gentle in your midst as a nursing mother would cherish her own children. So Paul, speaking to the church of Thessalonians, to be like nursing mothers when taking care of their new ones. And through these dorm Bible studies, we could really learn how to cherish and nourish these ones. And for those who have a lot of contacts in the dorms, dorm Bible studies are a really great way to meet up with your new ones. And even for the campuses who don't have many families nearby, also dorm Bible studies are something that you guys can consider and pray over to start at your campuses. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So I think we all are touched. God has a need. God's need is for a home. We're going to see a lot more about that. And God also wants us to find a home. And this can happen, hallelujah, in the homes of saints who are very different from us through coordination and through prayer. Maybe we could just take a moment to pray with your neighbor, pray with someone who's near you, that the Lord would have his home through our homes.